This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Poppy. Good morning,
hello.
Ben. Good morning, Sia. Good morning, Nolo. Good morning to you, too, and especially to you. Here we are. It's Monday.
Good morning, Gareth.
Hey, what's happening? What's going down? Who had a good weekend?
Yeah, I did.
All of us.
Yes, look at that. Poppy's happy. You must have had a great weekend, the amount of energy in that.
I had such...
Somebody got it all this weekend.
Well,
Okay.
Depends what you define as getting it all. I got to hang out with Uncle Cyril on our flight to Durban.
Oh,
he really does fly commercial. I thought it was just like press pics trying to PR us.
Really?
He flew Mango.
No.
In the front seat. I was also like, what's going on here? Yeah, with his one bodyguard. Guys, I'm not lying to you.
What?
I never thought I would want to work in the presidency after seeing that motorcade roll up the way that it did. Like I was watching an episode of The Fixer.
Oh,
I'm ready.
Wow. I can be
Olivia Pope.
So he doesn't check in and wait in the airport.
No, of course.
At least the motorcade rolled up onto the tarmac.
And then they step out. Everyone steps out except for him. And you're
fabulous.
Like wondering. And then he like just gets out and he's got his like blazer and puts. It was so hot.
Is this after everyone had boarded?
No, we were still waiting to board.
Oh.
But still, it's the president. You do it. And he was he is such a nice guy.
Well, that's what everybody says. And I mean, I've met him once or twice and I've always found him to be very, very charming. But you see, these politicians, we've got to be careful because they are charming. And then we think that they're our friend. And they're not our friend.
Everyone was tweeting me. They're like, Poppy, ask him about the petrol price and that and this.
See,
and I was like, guys, wait, I'm just trying to see if I can get a job here first.
Well, I mean, what would be the ideal job in the presidency? Protocol?
Sounds
like you'd be interested in protocol.
I'm about that Olivia Pope.
No, so you want to be a fixer?
Yeah.
Yeah, because there are people who do that stuff, but it's ugly work, yeah?
Well, I don't want to have to bury bodies.
Yeah.
I'll strategically advise on like, you know, the simple wins where they could be getting votes because I think they need someone like that.
That's not a priority, unfortunately.
Well, there goes my job.
You need to bury some secrets.
You need to know where the bodies are. And you need to know some pretty dodgy people. Because you see, the part of the fixer that they maybe spend as much time on, but we all choose to conveniently forget, is all the really, really dodgy people that you have to know.
Sure.
Like in a pinch, you need to be able to get someone who can, I don't know, make a car accident happen or someone, you know, some very ugly, nasty
like
stuff.
Credit of a printer's die, you know, that kind of thing.
Cheapers.
You need to be able to know those people.
Okay.
And those are not fun, friendly people to hang out with and spend your weekend with. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because they get paid in some very nefarious ways. Then they owe you something. Then you owe them something. You don't want to be in that
ending
position.
Story.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'll just advise.
I think an advisor.
On the simple wins.
Yeah, there's always legal counsel. There's someone who's, you know, the president has political advisors. The president in America, I certainly know that Obama had a guy who was just his body man. He was just there. Like, if the president needed toothpaste or if he needed if he needed to go and get a burger from somewhere, this is the guy who would do it for him.
How's it different from being a personal assistant?
Well, it is like being a personal assistant, except you're doing it for the president and you're around him all the time. Like you fly with him, you're in the car with him, you're here all the time if I need you is the basic idea. Yeah.
Jeepers.
And that could be quite interesting work.
And any time of day, sure.
Yeah, sure. So you'd sleep in a room nearby.
And then what?
I like my sleep. I don't want to be called at midnight to do nothing.
Presidents get woken up at 3 a.m. all the time.
Jeepers.
Whenever there's something, you know, world affair, it affects the country in a serious way. I mean, obviously, you know, in some countries more than others. For example, I saw Trump tweeting. I mean, who doesn't, right? Because he's tweeting all the time. But let me just read this to you quickly because he's going crazy. He just told Iran where to put their...
Via tweet.
But you know this is how it works, right? This is how it goes. So he says, to Iranian President Rouhani, This is the actual text. And then in capital letters, all of this in caps. Never, ever threaten the United States again, or you will suffer the consequences the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before.
Oh my gosh.
We are no longer a country that will stand for your demented words of violence and death. Be cautious! Exclamation mark. All in caps. Jesus. I don't know what President Rouhani did, but I think he's probably just shitting himself a little.
Well, he was promising the mother of all wars.
Oh, really?
For people that don't respect women, they often use this mother term a hell of a lot.
Oh, really? He's threatening. So he started it.
Well, I don't know if he started it, but he...
Mother of all wars, huh?
I saw that was his kind of...
Like shitty Iran. Thing. Iran must really watch itself because, I mean, you know, they could turn that whole country into a big glass crater if they wanted to.
Well, especially if Vlad's going to tag team from the other end.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what will happen because Vlad doesn't particularly like them either. So who have they got on their side?
Turkmenistan.
That makes everything better.
Well, now we've leveled the playing field.
Yeah, well, that's obvious. Sure.
Or maybe that's what happened. Donald and Vlad sat down, and Vlad's like, don't like Iran so much. How about you kick us some shit there?
Yeah. Well, maybe that's what happened. But anyway, that was what I woke up to this morning. I woke up. I got in the shower. Got out of the shower. I was putting on my shoes and everything. And my phone goes bling. And I look, and I go, oh, Jesus, Donald Trump's tweeting again. Mm. And I'm sure this is how the whole U.S. intelligence service feels, right? Because this happens all the time for them. They have to check this stuff.
Poppy actually told me she does this daily. She wakes up at around 4 and she'll just 4 consume tons of news.
Really?
Yeah, I like to.
At 4 a.m.?
I'm like.
Half past 4.
We are trying to just be happy in the morning.
Just to make sure nothing happened overnight.
Have a pip in our step.
Also, because I live in 4A, so like you could literally be walking into drama as you drive out of your driveway.
Well, I'm interested because, I mean, the last thing I want to wake up to is some of that stuff.
And right.
We have so much news these days. Also, let me ask you without being judgmental here. Like, how does it... No, really, because I've gone on a bit of a news diet.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm very careful about what kind of news I consume now because it really can affect your mood.
Sure.
What's the point of knowing what's going on? Because it's going to make you worry and make you anxious about stuff you can't do anything about, right?
No.
Mm-mm. So why do you need to know?
Because, one, it's habit. Two, I'd just like to know what's happening internationally and in the world of life and things. So.
And three, it's nice to know two people in the studio is prepared for an actual radio show here.
No.
So
I mean,
I need a pep in my step. And
I love to consume. That's all I have on at home is CNN, Sky.
No, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying head in the sand stuff, Ben. I'm saying that you need to be very careful what sources you use because it can. I mean, there's a lot of news out there you don't need to know.
Well, that's a good point. If you're getting news from one channel, then you kind of subscribe into that channel's narrative.
Correct.
I hear what you're saying.
So, and also because we're probably getting it from social media. Like a lot of my news is from Twitter. I follow a couple of select people there, and you know, these are mostly credible people that I would trust with the news.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a couple of sites that I go to as well, but I'm not looking for it. Like it finds me, it finds me just fine. I don't have to go looking for the news. There's plenty of it all over the place, right?
Yeah.
And everything's always so urgent. It's always breaking news. It's always like, shit! Oh, I have to pay attention. True. What's going on? It's always breaking news. It's never. You might need to know.
We have one of the networks here on TV rolling in the studio,
and.
Every hour on the hour, there is that yellow bar saying breaking news.
It's on now.
And out of habit, you look and you go, okay, well, what is this? And it's like...
And then it's a story from 3 days ago.
Or it's teen sues mother for not letting him sleep late or something. It's just...
Oh, wow.
I think you have to have breaking news all the time.
But like they don't have breaking news at the moment, so it's just blank. It's just there. Should write something quickly.
And these ticket tapes, and then you've got this going on in the corner, and the stock market in this corner, and... A news flash in this corner. You know what I mean? It's just like it's crazy. Well, it'll get you all hyped up.
It ties back to the social media sort of formula. It's this dopamine kind of thing. You've got to have these notifications to keep you in the game. So that's exactly what these new channels are. Well, they've got these screens now where there's just they just want you to have ADHD for their product.
Well, it's interesting because it keeps us glued, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst part about all of this is that the bad news is the stuff we keep coming for.
Mm.
And it is. The reason I asked you that question was because there's they've done various psychological studies around news.
Uh-huh.
And what they've discovered is that because we are evolved to look for danger.
Wow.
You know, we kind of, our ancestors would be messing around in the savannah.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'd be someone looking out for lions or other people, you know, an enemy tribe who coming to kill you. Or,
sure.
Some kind of threat. And as a result, that's why we gossip as well. Did you know that? We gossip so that we can determine where the danger is.
You know, I love the fact that I now have that to back up what I do.
No, it doesn't. Wow. It doesn't mean you're being smart.
Damn it.
Because everything, women started gossiping before men. Because it was important for women in the tribe to be able to ascertain which men were dangerous.
That's so true.
Which men would become good fathers. So they're actually sharing information about, like, oh, this one does this, this one does that. That one you mustn't trust, he's very dodgy.
This is so true.
And that's kind of how they selected mates, because they were sharing information.
Even in 2018.
Even now. And if we look at news, I mean, there's a volcano in, I don't know, Turkmenistan, to quote Ben's favorite country, twice today. Getting a lot of mentions this morning. This is Turkmenistan's government is going to be watching us
from now.
Big
media day.
So let's say they have a volcano in Turkmenistan. Now,
yeah.
That's never going to affect us. It has nothing to do with us. But because we're so hungry for information the whole time, it hits that amygdala part of the brain, the reptilian brain,
mm-hmm.
and we go, oh shit, you have volcano, and you're like, whoa! There's a volcano, and you can't really, because all of this is happening, you know, you're only meant to take in your immediate surroundings and maybe a little bit of other info in order to survive. I'm talking basic survival stuff.
Mm.
Now, everything that happens in the world has to come through that reptile brain of yours.
Sure.
And trust me, it sends everything through as a priority. It's like breaking news. That's how they get you hooked. That's how they get you paying attention. And we're all trapped in it.
Oof.
Now it's the scrolling. It's your Twitter feed. It's your Instagram. You've got to know what's going on. You've got to see what your friends are up to. Because that's important. You know, social hierarchies and figuring out where you fit in and who's important and who isn't and who has things and who doesn't and who you're competing with for mates and blah, 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 blah. No, it's hectic. It gets you going and it can be very destructive.
I guess this is where the social disorder of can't evening comes from, because you think everything's a big deal,
yeah.
So you can't even. But yeah. I mean, it's the wrong lettuce on your sandwich, sweetheart, or something like that.
Yeah.
But can't evening, it's like everything's a disaster. Mm-hmm. Everything's just the most. It's just the most.
But that's
the
awesome.
Most.
It is the most, and it's can't evening. No, you're right. But it's also because people have, we don't have anything to shock our priority system into check.
Exactly.
And we worried, like Nolo and I were standing at the coffee machine like two cavemen this morning because we were trying to figure out, this thing not work. Neither of us knew how to put this tube in the right place. And I said to her, I don't understand. I said, I don't know what to do. Unplug machine. I said, let's just leave it because otherwise we're going to break it or something, right?
Now, most people will think you're just being stupid, but that machine
is oddly difficult to work. It's a very complex
machine.
You get
here at 6 in the morning, it is oddly difficult.
Oh no, it's horrible. So, our priority this morning was to try and get this coffee machine going. Imagine if we lived in Syria. You know, suddenly your priorities come into sharp focus. You're like, I've got to survive today. I just got to make it through today. Special treat for Monday.
You got to survive those sneezes.
Oh, I hope I'm not getting sick. Woke up this morning feeling a little scratchy.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's my priority for the day. Not getting sick. No,
simple enough.
No, it was pretty cold this weekend. Did not have a fun time being outside. I went for a lunch on Saturday, a birthday lunch. Very nice out in the countryside. It was very pretty. Lots of cool people. But it was chilly. And I could feel, this may be the kind of weather that gives you a cold.
Yeah.
Immune system compromised. Beep, 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 beep.
I drank enough red wine to make sure I'm probably going to get sick next winter.
Oh.
Ooh. Ben,
where were you?
That's a solution.
Yeah.
Were you just at home?
Well, it was the final round of the Open Championship, so I took a magnum of red wine to a friend's house, and we watched it pretty much start to finish.
Very good.
Yeah. Well, it's like a ritual. Where, you know, it's little things you try to do in life.
How long did it last?
The golf? A long time. Well, a magnum is a magnum. It's only like 2 bottles of wine.
Oh, well, I'm talking about the game itself.
The game.
Not
it's the Open Championship. The tournament. Yeah, it's not the, a game.
The person wow. hitting the ball around.
Oh, gosh. So, yeah, from Thursday till eternity, because the memories are just so strong after what happened.
Oh, jeez.
It was just such a good tournament.
Okay.
But I went to something even more interesting.
Yeah?
I went to a chocolate and coffee festival.
You go to these things. I'm amazed, actually. You get around.
But like...
Like that festival you went to the last time, there was such a disappointment.
Okay, that was horrible. I'm still feeling dodgy from that brisket. But it just goes to show you can put a festival on for anything. Chocolate and coffee.
But...
It was huge. It was like massive, massive.
How many people?
Friday night, and it was cold, and it was outside. There must have been about 300 people.
Jesus. All right.
During the day, it must have been really busy. But like... Imagine how much chocolate and coffee can you put into one area? What if your expectations are times it by 10 and it was amazing?
Wow.
And
okay.
Like fancy, obviously craft everything.
But winter's a good time to do coffee and chocolate, right?
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Well, but not outside.
It was something to brave, but it was totally worth it. And there was even like a band.
There's some things people will go outside for. Coffee, chocolate. They don't mind that.
Yeah. But the things, and obviously with that comes the lifestyle aspects of that. So they were selling like machines and kitchenware and... Like some really fancy chocolates that looked like ornaments, and then there was like your usual stuff, and then there was so much sugar-free stuff. There was so much, like, so many healthy aspects of this as well. I would say 30% of the stuff was sugar-free.
That's great.
Which is to show like the trends towards healthy
eating. That's where people are going,
every
right?
Every aspect of things.
Mm. Oh, I didn't boast about my Discovery Health checkup that
oh,
I went for
yes.
the other day.
What were your stats? Go ahead.
Good. Tell us.
What did they say, you magnificent specimen?
I am, yes. I'm glad you recognize that. Let me tell you what I've got here. So I went for this checkup, and some of them are up and some of them are about the same as the last time, but none of them are down, which is good news. So I've got pretty good blood pressure, 122 over 76. My weight is under 90 kilograms, which is good, but I need to get to about 85. Height stayed the same, obviously. body mass index is down, which is nice. Total cholesterol, down. Then there's the good and the bad cholesterol. Okay. You know, you get those.
Mm.
So I've got to work on the bad cholesterol. And my good cholesterol's fine.
Which means that you eat a lot of polony, bruh.
What the listeriosis is going on?
They measure your triglycerides. I've got 0.96.
That's healthy.
Yeah, and they say you've got to have less than 1.7, so I'm good there. Glucose, I've got 4.3. As long as you're below 7.8, you're good. So I'm about halfway.
Mm-hmm.
That's I'm very happy about that. Waist circumference is down. Fruit and vegetable intake and all that stuff all looking good. And I'm still a non-smoker. So that's also good news.
Still.
Yeah, so I actually came out of it well. I think this is my best result in like 3 years. It should be going backwards.
What do you mean?
I mean, I should be going backwards. I should be getting fatter. And, you know, as you get older, you just get worse. But I refuse.
Good.
So I'm very proud
okay,
of myself.
Benjamin Button.
For what it's worth. Yeah, I would love that.
Did they tell you what your body age is? Because
yes, they give you a vitality age. So mine's 2 years younger than I am.
That's amazing.
Good, right? Yeah, I'm happy with that. Yeah.
Wow.
Not too bad.
That's cool.
Yes. But I still didn't get enough points to be... And the whole point of doing these things is to get the points, right?
What do you mean? So yes, the
you
points.
Get the vitality points.
Why didn't you get the points?
I got the points, but I didn't get enough points. And I have to keep doing things to get the rest of the points.
Jeez.
Fucking. Look, I mean, really, I need to get to gold, right? I've still got to get 6,000 points. I don't know where I'm going to get them.
6,000?
Yeah, that's a real pain.
Before December or what?
Do you do like the 10,000 steps a day thing?
Well, I've got the watch on. It's connected, but I don't pay attention.
Well, there we go.
So I should do that.
Well, look at you, just neglecting avenues.
But apparently if you, well, there's a good one to do. Thank you, Ben. Some good advice. I've got to do the every day gym trip, which is 100 points.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll get there.
Ooh.
Sure.
I think my girlfriend's been gold for like a year now.
She's good.
It's just one of the things she does.
Yeah.
I bought her a Fitbit thinking, I've kind of run out of things to buy her. That's kind of not ridiculously expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So I got her a Fitbit and I thought, how different can it be? Like, she changes a person.
It makes your you become obsessed with
it. She changes a person. Not for better, not for worse. She just changes a person.
Oh. Well, I see she was also posting about golf over the weekend. You get her watching some?
No, she just does that. She seems to just pick up on trending things because she has got FOMO. She doesn't watch any. No, she actually watched on Saturday with me.
Oh, okay.
But when I say watch, she would just sit next to me. She's very supportive like that.
Jeez.
I couldn't watch golf. I couldn't watch golf on my own.
No, that's why I was asking how long it is, because you wake up in the morning and you're spending, hours?
Everyone, yeah. You generally try to watch the leaders, although it's quite scattered until the last day. Yeah, it's Thursday, I probably watched 6 hours. Friday, I probably watched about 6 hours.
Are you watching and you're concentrating, or are you watching like with a laptop and you're working?
Yeah, Thursday, Friday, still working your best.
6 hours sounds like a lot, but it's not that long. It's really not.
That's some cricket.
How many hours we're awake.
I watched two movies yesterday, back to back. I was just lazy, and I was lying on the sofa at home. I watched two movies.
That's like three hours.
They were bullshit movies. I can't even tell you what they were. It was so dumb. I watched Spawn and G.I. Jane. Oh,
G.I. Jane?
Yeah.
The one with Demi Moore.
That's the one from 1989 or whatever.
What possessed you?
Well, it was on. I just lay there. I was useless. I just lay there and did nothing all day yesterday.
And that your discovery age goes back to plus two.
I know. I got to get that sorted out. But isn't that something? Huh?
Yeah, we should be more aware.
You lose hours, man.
What we do with our time.
You.
Yeah. It's actually so interesting. One of the things that I've been doing this year for myself, just in terms of personal development and growth, is keeping a timesheet. And a lot of people who work in like proper, serious, sit-down corporate understand the concept of when you get into work and you clock in and you need to log what you were doing for those hours. And just being able to do that for myself. And I'm like, I sat yesterday for 20...
So you keep a log of your own?
Yeah, just... to account for what I did in the day.
Wow.
And there was one particular stretch of time I spent 31 minutes on social media on my phone in one sitting. And that was all I did. I sat on my phone on social media and I was thinking, what else could I have done in 30 minutes? You know, how else could I have been productive?
Used your time.
Yeah. And it makes you so aware of how you could be more smarter and wiser with your time. I think it works. I'd advocate.
All right, very good. Listen, we've got to get to the five things you need to know today. Poppy, you got a couple of ideas you want to throw in here?
I do. We were talking now about news and how they always sort of, you know, trend all the bad stuff. And I did see this trending internationally before I saw this trending locally. But these taxi drivers that were killed in that ambush, I don't know if you saw that.
Sure, what happened there?
They were driving back from a colleague's funeral, and they got ambushed and shot at... as a convoy of taxi drivers.
Is this like taxi wars?
I don't know, but it's also KZN. So, which is rough. If you think Joburg is rough when it comes to taxi violence, KZN is red, pops off every day, all day. But I think this is the scariest one yet. And apparently the motive's unclear, obviously, but rivalry groups about the roots and all of that kind of stuff is still a thing.
Wow. Yeah. That's a whole underworld. We don't, you know, unless you know it really well, you just don't know anything about it. But there is a whole criminal underworld that's allied to that. There are wars, there are gangs, there are warlords, there are people who own the taxis. I mean, there's an underground economy second to none. You think about how many taxis there are, how many people, how few people own those taxis.
Yeah. There's a documentary on Netflix called Drug Wars, and someone was saying on... Twitter that we should have a documentary on taxi wars. We'd be shaken just from... I know Trevor used to be a taxi driver, and some of his stories are just like...
Trevor Noah?
Yeah. Harrowing, the stuff that you see, and also that you have to be part of, I guess.
No, it's crazy.
There's some slimy things happening in KZN right now. I feel like that combined with now there have been these political killings.
A slimy former president is hanging out back in that hood.
You know, after the ANC conference last week, now there have been a couple of killings that have gone on around that as well.
I think KZN's always been dodge in that way. Like, there's just, it's crazy. It's always but been there's the beach. The dodgy spot.
And there's a great weather.
Yeah. That's all I was focusing take the beach. On.
All right. What else is going on?
I thought the story was quite cool, but there's a newsreader from the BBC who lost his hearing and made his debut as a, it's probably mine.
Who's got an alarm going off there?
It is mine.
Poppy's like running to get... Well, this is a real show. Real things happen. No, she's digging in her bag. That is an enormous bag. It's like Mary Poppins.
Like, what else is in there? No, we all resonate because now I've just started a new alarm.
What time is your alarm?
Well, I don't know why. I just had extra anxiety, so I've started a couple of alarms in the morning.
Extra anxiety.
Yeah, so it's now set after 6 a.m. as well. I'm thinking, what if I ever fall asleep and it's after? So yeah, I have a 5:45, 5:51, 5:55. Then I have a 6:35 and a 6:40 and a 6:45. Like, heaven forbid I were to ever oversleep.
Oh, wow. That's paranoia.
But isn't that after the times you're supposed to
That's
be
not going
to
help
That's what
you.
I'm saying. I'm like, worst case scenario.
No, but then it's just
going to
be going off during the show. That's annoying. Like,
I switch them off.
All right, sorry, you were saying.
There's a newsreader who lost his hearing from the BBC and made his debut with his hearing aid, which I thought was quite cool because he feared losing his career and he's just gotten so many cool messages of support. So now he obviously has someone sort of, you know, helping him through the broadcasts.
Wow, so he can't hear a damn thing.
Well, he lost his hearing progressively, but yes. Hmm. He says it was quite awkward to have to tell people because it's a different thing if you were born without hearing and to live your whole life with hearing and then progressively lose it in your 40s and then still wonder about your job and socially as well when you're asking people, sorry, can't hear you the whole time. It's a bit of a weird one.
Well, I would hate to lose my hearing. Just to lose music would kill me.
Right.
Yeah, I'd be very sad.
And then I don't know if anyone cares about bricks.
Yeah, all right.
But I do. Especially
if you work in Sandton, you do. Apparently that's going to be a mess now.
It is. So the BRICS gala event kicked off this weekend and that's why I was in Durban. But I thought it was quite interesting that they're setting up a ratings agency between... They were kind of debating if it was going to be based in South Africa or Russia. So on the Sunday morning, that was, you know, the conference that was up.
Oh, they want... Because they think that BRICS countries get treated unfairly by Fitch and the other ratings agencies, Moody's.
So now they're setting up their own ratings agencies, but everything kicks off this week, and yes, like you said, Santon's going to be a mess, but hopefully Vlad is coming through. That's all I want is a selfie with Vlad and I'm good.
Well, just remember that if you're in a selfie with Vlad and doesn't go his way, he might come and get you. Oof. Or send his goons to take you out.
Snap, there's that. And then, of course, all of the ANC Gauteng chairperson leadership things that are going down. David Makura. I really didn't think that he would win. I thought Panyaza had this in the bag, but clearly not. So David Makura is the newly elected ANC Gauteng chairperson. Did you see that coming?
No, I didn't think that Panyaza Lesufi was going to get it.
Really? Why?
No, because
he's so likable.
He is likable and he says good things, but you know, in politics, it's more about who your constituency are. And he knows, David Makura knows how to play to the constituency.
He was elected unopposed.
Yeah.
So clearly he's greasing the right palms.
Grease the right palms.
There. And what else? Do you guys care about Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Of course.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, wow.
You remember her?
You know. Yeah, well, it's getting a reboot.
No.
With a person of color. Which I thought.
Yep. Jesus. Okay. All right. Is that the alarm going off again?
No, it's not.
It is her alarm going off again.
I swear I heard it. All right. Who's on the line? Let me just get this quickly.
It's Benedict.
All right. Benedict's on the line. Shall we speak to Benedict? Let's do it.
He's a massive Buffy fan.
Is he? Is that what he called in for? Let's just find out. Benedict, are you a big fan of Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Is that what's going on? Oi, 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 hang on. Benedict.
Hello, man.
Hello.
How are you doing? How are you guys doing?
Benedict, are you talking to us while you're still under the blankets?
Hey, man. How do you guys do this every morning?
What, this waking up thing?
Hmm?
This waking up early thing?
Yeah.
Do you hate it? Do you not? You don't wake up as early as we do. What time do you usually get up?
Around this time, actually.
Okay, well, this is not. This is a little more civilized. 6:30. Yeah, this is okay.
I have a class in an hour.
Most of us have been up 2 hours already, so that's how we go.
Yeah, how do you guys do it? How?
With difficulty. Why do you think we get so grumpy with each other occasionally? You know? What do you do today? Yeah. What's on your agenda? Why are you up so early?
Classes.
What are you studying?
Mining and environmental geology.
Wow, okay. It's not boring. That's nice. No, I like that. So you can tell me what, if I hold up a rock, you'll be able to tell me what kind of mineral it is and what it contains.
Yeah, easily.
Okay, that's good. What is, what's that stuff that, do you know what stibnite is? Stibnite.
Is that Shugnite's brother?
Yeah, it's Shugnite's brother. That's right, Ben. 100 points to Ben. All right, listen, I got to go. Thanks, man.
No problem.
Bye-bye. Jeez. He sounds like he's talking to us under the blankets,
yeah.
Right? Like he's hiding under the blankets with his phone. There was like movement of like a blanket or something above him. You could hear it. All right. Anything else we want to throw into the things you need to know?
Done. All right. Did you guys not go to Katy Perry? Just
no. Who did go?
Yes. I did.
How was it?
Oh, it was.
You went on Wednesday.
A firework, magical candy. Hey, okay. California Girls, amazing special.
Lisa the Lesbian.
Yeah.
Says that Katy Perry changed her whole life. She was there on... I saw her tweeting
changed
something.
Changed her whole life.
Yeah, no. Lisa the Lesbian. Concert. Lisa the Lesbian says this was the greatest moment of her life to go to Katy Perry. She was waxing lyrical about this stuff. I've never seen anyone so excited about something before. And this is post the concert. It's not even before.
Well, I'm not one for stereotypes, but, you know, Katy Perry's new look is a bit...
What do you mean? Quite lesbian?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. The new hair color, it's the shop haircut. Yeah.
Really?
Mm.
Oh.
Feel like she could.
Let me read this from
pop
Lisa
my
the
bonnet
lesbian.
Open and move a
Listen
little
to
things
this.
Around.
This is what she says, wow. Lisa the Lesbian. She goes, I have no words to say how Katy Perry touched my soul on Friday. Single handedly, the most amazing show I have ever seen. Katy Perry, I see you. I am still in awe and feel on top of a cloud. Thank you. Kiss, heart, kiss.
Can't deal the most.
Jesus. Well, she's excited, man.
Jeepers.
That Katy Perry really touched Lisa the Lesbian in a big way.
It was a great show.
Nice. All right. Okay. Bitcoin trading at $7,677 and Ethereum at $468. Ben, over to you. What's in the news?
Absolutely incredible Open Championship. Sri Lanka are still hammering the Proteas. In the German Grand Prix, Hamilton gets a win. And Ronaldo leaves a huge tip for people in Greece. Now, with the Open going back to Carnoustie, it was always going to be a bit of a slog for the players. But yesterday's final round, nobody could have anticipated what went down. Prior to that, it was very, very exciting in that some big names fell out of way in the cut, so some big name Americans weren't there. So, not Bubba Watson, no one cares about him at the Open. Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, number one and two in the world, they were gone. Brandon Grace, one of SA's top talents, they're also gone. But it came down to Tiger making a charge on the Saturday. Now, this was just something to see. It was like he was taking irons off the tee during Thursday and Friday to kind of stay in for the weekend, and he made the cut. And then out of nowhere, he started ripping drivers. He started hitting it close, sinking putts, and it was Tiger of old.
Huh?
It really was. It was Tiger of old. He shot a 66 on Saturday. Now, also a big mover on the Saturday was Justin Rose. He shot a 64. Francisco Molinari shot a 65. And Jordan Spieth, it was looking like he was just sewing it up for himself. A 65 on Saturday, and he looked like he was going to defend the championship. He started out there pretty rocky on Sunday. And, well, by the time that I finished all my red wine, he had shot a 76. And he was out of it, tied ninth. Tiger, he led at the turn. He was -7. Everyone else looked like they were going full pro tiers. But Tiger was looking strong. And then into the wind, he made a horrible double bogey, I think on the 11th hole. And then after that, he never really bounced back. So guys like Xander Schauffele and Kevin Kistner and Kevin Chappell, they were still in the mix. But playing with Woods was Francesco Molinari. Now this guy is the hottest golfer in the world right now. His last month has been incredible. Ever since he won the BMW Championship at Wentworth, the guy just looked like on another level. So while everything was happening around him, Molinari was just getting pars, pars after pars after pars. And he went on and birdied the 18th, and with that, minus 8, he was the first ever Italian major championship in the history of golf.
Hmm.
He didn't record a bogey for the entire weekend.
Wow.
The entire weekend. It just doesn't happen around Carnoustie. A little bit of wind, that course was so difficult. And the fact that he got to 8 under as well, it's just an incredible winning score. In fact, the last time, he's won 3 times now in a very short space of time. And over the weekends of playing there, he's not registered a single bogey. This man is consistent, he's at the peak of his powers, and it was beautiful to watch, it really was. And Justin Rose also came back nicely on the third and fourth day. Roy McIlroy did alright, but just ran out of holes. And Eddie Pepperell, a man who confessed to being hungover on Sunday because he thought he was totally out of it, he shot a 67 on the final day to get a tight sixth out of nowhere. So yeah, the Open is the pinnacle of golf, it really is. Everything about the Open is just so good, everything is done so well. And as for that course, it just goes to show you don't have to have the longest course in the world. Everything is just in the balance in the whole Scottish links environment. Unlike the USGA, who take really great golf courses, absolutely butcher them in the interest of protecting par, and then you have a horrible tournament. So they can learn a lot from the Open and the RNA in general, and just Scottish people. They seem quite nice. Although the person who did shout on Tiger's backswing on the 18th, I really do hope you get herpes and fall into a ditch. There's just no place for that.
That's nice. That's very nice.
Well, it was, Gareth, it was the only blip on an entirely fantastic tournament. It really was.
Okay.
Yeah. In crickets, Proteas are cuck.
Oh?
Yeah.
Has that changed since the last update?
I'm pretty sure I had a stronger opening line than that, but that's pretty much it. Batting against the Sri Lankans, they can't play spin. All out for 124 in the first innings. Of course, Sri Lanka, they got a breezy 338. And then because they thought, well, let's actually give the crowd something to stick around for. Let's bat again. They got 275 for 5 declared. And then setting a total that the Proteas will never get in 1,000 years. They are currently 144 for 5 as day one starts. It started already. Teba Bavuma is at the crease and he'll be with Tinus de Brain. Now, Tinus is on 45.
Yeah?
He needs 5 more runs to get to 50. No one in this Proteas setup has got a 50 in the series so far.
God, that's
not
bad.
One.
That is bad.
So embarrassing. Oh. But Otis Gibson, I mean, he started out all right, I guess. Playing at home always helps. But you go into this in Sri Lanka, you open with spin bowlers, right? And then they bowl the whole time. Proteas went in with 3 seamers. 3 seamers. And he then says, maybe this was a mistake. No, Otis, this was an absolute disaster for you as a human, let alone a cricket coach. How the hell do you pick players who are not going to do anything on this pitch? Come the second innings, 2 of the seamers didn't even bowl. So what are they there for? I mean, are they there just so they can field fine leg as a specialist fine legs person? I know Shamsi had unfortunately, his father passed away, so he wasn't probably mentally ready for this. But you've taken the spinners on the tour. So give them a chance. Bowl them. Where else are you going to get a chance? I mean, if you're a spinner, your dream debut is on a subcontinent pitch. The ball's going to turn. You're going to get assistance. You can build some confidence. No, you can sit in the change room and basically just do nothing all day. It's so disheartening to think that they can mess things up. Let's go on there. It's so disheartening to think that people can get this so wrong at this level, because this is all they do.
Yep.
Otis Gibson's job when he wakes up in the morning is to coach the Proteas national team.
That's all.
It isn't to play the stocks and shares. It isn't to whack surfboards on the Sri Lankan beach. He is there to pick a bloody good side to even be competitive. But they're not. And it's disastrous. Absolutely disastrous. And that's all I should probably say about that. That's it.
Well, that's pretty damning criticism, Ben, I think.
Dean Elgar did bring
laid
up
it on thick.
Dean Elgar did bring up a decent point about these sneaky Sri Lankans. So they go there for the preparation match, the 2-day match prior to the series. The pitches don't turn, and the Sri Lankans only pick seamers to bowl to them. So, I mean, there's a bit dick from those guys too. I mean, we spoke about the lack of preparation for our batsmen, but imagine that. You go there and you don't give them the conditions they're about to have in the test match itself. Dean Elgar hasn't faced a single ball of seam bowling in this test series.
Not
he's
nice.
An opening batsman. Yeah. Mesut Ozil has decided that's enough for the German team. Citing
that over
a
the
lot
weekend.
Of racism.
Yeah.
Trevor Noah has been making some interesting arguments around the whole French football team you know, the whole thing about immigrants in Europe and how they accept it if they're winning, if they're not, then they're immigrants. And that was the whole thing with Ozil. It's like he was Turkish when the team was losing, but he was German when they were winning. So he said, bugger it, I've had enough of this, and I don't need any of this stress in my life. Speaking of stress, for Cristiano Ronaldo, doesn't really have much. He's currently, well, he's back in Italy now, gearing up for his new team Juventus. But yeah, he took his family on holiday to Greece and left a tip, a huge tip of 313,000 rand for the people who gave great service.
That's quite good.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind. So it was a restaurant?
Yeah, he took his family away and then they had a really good time. And then he left this tip for the staff. Huge.
Sounds good.
Interesting point on the money, though. Just La Liga's president, Javier Tebas, says that Ronaldo might have gone to Italy for the money. Because in Spain, you get taxed 52%. Yeah. In Italy, you get taxed 46%.
Oh. Yeah. So he wins on two fronts. Very good.
Yeah. Hamilton won the F1 in Germany after doing something or other. And then the Blitzbox. Well, unfortunately, they didn't win the World Champs. They got thwarted by the English again. And you have those damn English. They thrashed them in the semis. They then went on to lose to New Zealand, who are the champions of the world. The Blitzbox finished third. But you know what the New Zealanders did after winning?
No.
A haka, obviously.
Oh, I think, didn't they do those before at the beginning of the game?
But that's just it, Gareth. Yeah, they haka for everything.
They haka for everything.
They haka for everything. But they are the sevens world champs, and that is your sport for this Monday.
All right. Thank you, Ben. It's time to turn our attention to Anthea, who has the usual money update for us, but it's never usual in the world of finance. There's always something going on, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, and she's going to help us figure our way through it right now. Here she is, Anthea Gardner, the money shot.
So hard for it, honey. She was hard for the money, so you better treat her right. She was hard for the money. So hard for it, honey.
Yes, she does.
She was hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
Okay, what do you got for us, Anthea? Good morning.
Good morning. I have some good news this morning.
Yes.
Yay, yep. Muffins.
No. Will you take that the market's up 1%? Not nearly as good as the muffins. Clearly. Oh, I'm so sorry, Ben.
Is that a big enough story?
That's okay. And inflation came in at 4.6%. We were expecting 4.8%.
Okay.
Yay, that's great.
Small victories, but we'll take them.
That's fairly huge. You know, considering last year this time, we were worried about the drought, worried about meat going up 16%. So
yep.
I'm quite happy with that. So the inflation rate is now well within the Reserve Bank's target band of between 3% and 6%.
Okay.
However, the Reserve Bank governor did say on Thursday that he thinks we're past the low point of the current cycle in the inflation rate, so he's basically looking for higher inflation. The Reserve Bank have cut growth forecasts for the country from 1.7% to 1.2% for this year, so we still need GDP growth. So all these nice things with inflation coming through, and we can now spend, but we need to see some growth. The governor really was worried about two main things. One, the oil price, which is still trending very much higher, and two, trade wars, which I want to talk about in a minute.
All right.
Luckily, though, the Reserve Bank kept the interest rate on hold. They had their meeting on Wednesday and Thursday. Thursday announced that they'd keep it on hold, but they did say be careful. You know, he calls it geopolitical risk. I mean, the reality of it is trade wars, right? And we spoke about trade wars last week. So, you know, initially Trump came out of NAFTA, and then he implemented a 25% increase on steel, 10% on aluminium imports. Then China retaliated and put a 10% increase on goods. Then Europe retaliated. Then Trump retaliated again, putting another 10%.
Oh, my God.
So that's how it's gone, right?
Okay, so this is mostly what, steel?
No, all sorts of goods. Badger hair is my favorite
one.
I spoke about that last week.
The shaving brushes.
Yep. So I kind of went and did a little bit of research on just what it is that trade wars do. And it's not the first time America's got into trade battles, right, in the last, I don't know how many years. We've had Reagan, we've had Bush. They've all implemented trade wars. The one that caught my eye, though, was the Smoot-Hawley Act of 1930. And basically,
what is the Smoot-Hawley Act?
I know, it's a terrible name, right? So it's named after two congressmen who were fighting for their own counties at the time. So one wanted protectionism on his manufacturing. The other one wanted protectionism on, I can't remember how it started. There was another, I don't know, call it farming, for example.
All right.
And basically it just became, in Congress, this big, I'll give you this if you give me that. Trade wars started. Then they started implementing it from America all the way through to the other countries. So they went, Japan they attacked, imposed trade wars, sure, on, I should say. And basically, the economists and commentators are saying that it wasn't the catalyst for the 1930s depression, but it certainly made it worse.
Mm-hmm.
And then other commentators went on to say that actually, because of Smoot-Hawley Act and because of this nationalism that ensued, it actually was part of what caused World War II.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. So they're drawing this line, this thread, between this 1930 Act of Smoot-Hawley, which basically was trade protectionism,
right,
all the way through to World War II. And when you read, I mean, I'm not a great storyteller, but when you read it, you can actually see how it all unfolds and what happened. So
it sounds quite scary because it could be important for other things that might happen. We see Trump ratcheting up the war talk around Iran this morning, which is bound to send oil prices up again. Watch that space. Let's see what happens.
European, American nationalism, anti-immigration. Yeah, there you go. All right. Should we talk a little bit about company news then on that note?
Yeah, let's.
Leave that behind.
And we must address Christo Visa as well.
Let's talk company news first and get
to
Christo.
He's got SARS problems. Okay, so let's go to companies.
I mean, the man has enough problems. Jeez. Right? Jeez.
And how?
There's a song about this, right? And SARS isn't one of them? Oh, SARS is one of them. So, first of all, MTN announced that they're selling their Cyprus unit to Monaco Telecom for 260 million euros. This is very much in line with MTN kind of getting rid of their non-core, and not just non-core, but non-performing, I should say, because actually Telecom is core to what they do.
Right.
What's interesting, I think, with MTN is, you know, that they've got the new CEO. He stepped in earlier this year, I believe, Shooter. Mm-hmm. And he's a banker. And he surrounded himself with other bankers. So what suddenly is the question about what remains core and what is non-core? In my question, that's what I'm wondering about MTN and what they're doing and where they're going. But that's that news. And then EOH, the IT company, used to be run by Asher Bobbitt. Let me get that name right. Yes. They now said they've got a new CEO. The share was up 20% on Thursday. And all this just from a new CEO. So I don't think it's just because of a new CEO. You know, they've had all these troubles. They've had allegations of corruption, big Amabugani investigations and stories being told about how there's a lot of corruption in the company. And the share basically has fallen hugely. I mean, it was down like, I don't know. You don't have the graph, do you? I didn't look up the graph.
Let's see how much it does. It doesn't sound good.
No. Anyway, the share was up 20%. I don't think it was just the CEO. I think there was a short squeeze on the share. So people were basically short the share. Good news come in. The new CEO's name, Stephen von Koller. He's...
Where is he from? We've heard that name before.
Have you? Do you recognize the name? Oh, okay, good. So I wanted to say, I'm not sure if people know it, because obviously I know it because I'm in the industry. He's ex-ABSA Corporate and Investment Banking.
Yes.
Then he was at MTN, and now he's at EOH.
Okay.
So he definitely has a good reputation. I think what people are betting on is that he wouldn't risk his reputation on a company that was going under, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, so then suddenly there was renewed confidence in the shares, you know, went up 20%. That's good news.
There's another thread here though that worries me. You know, the whole Bantu Holomisa allegations with a PIC and the fact that there's trouble and Harith Partners, which, quite frankly, I mean, I don't know where this comes from. I don't know who's right and who's wrong, but Holomisa has also pointed at a company called Labashi Holdings, Investment Holdings, which happens to be EOH's BEE partner.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think just, you know, that whole kind of tainted by the same brush has really not helped the situation.
Well, the whole Gupta link too was part of the problem here. And people don't forget.
Absolutely.
So we've got to maybe pay more attention to Bantu Holomisa in the next couple of months. He's the one who keeps outing these bad players. All right. Steinhoff started trading above R3 a share.
Can you believe that? Wow. I was waiting for it to go to R1
a share. What was it at its height?
Oh, goodness. It was a R45 share before it started plummeting. It was much more than that before. So.
Uh-oh.
No, it's down like 93%.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But it's above R3 a share. What do you think is happening?
Up 21% in the week.
What's going on there?
So they came out with a story saying that their major creditors were willing to restructure their €9.4 billion debt. So the banks and the private equity companies, most of them anyway, are saying, that's fine. We won't call our debt. We will give you an extension on payments. And all that does, and it's a little bit complicated because it's not Steinhoff, just Steinhoff directly. It's Steinhoff Europe. It's their property business called Hemisphere. It's another US business called Stripes. It's very convoluted. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is Steinhoff now get to trade as an ongoing entity, basically. That's all it is. And I think people are just saying, well, actually, guess what? This company is going to survive. So it went from, I don't know, R1.20 2 weeks ago to over R3, as you say.
Sure.
Now, that's a great segue for Christo Visser, right? Now let's talk about Christo Visser.
Yeah, what about Christo Visser? He owes SARS, what, R217 million?
Well, that's the claim. So SARS are saying, And this was front page of the Financial Mail this weekend. And of course, you know, we all read the Financial Mail magazine. It's an Amu Bongani story. And the story goes that ENS Africa, so Edward Nathan Sonnenberg's, the law firm.
Yes.
Created a structure for Tullow Oil, which is a very well-known offshore oil company, to make them tax efficient. They then got rid of that. They no longer needed it. They sold this empty shell onto Christo Visser, allowed him to externalize money from it, through it. The shell then got sold on to three ENS Africa representatives, and SARS have come back and said, whoa, you can't just do that. You can't just take an empty shell, put money in it, make profit in it, sell it to somebody else, take it offshore, and not give us our share of the money.
Sure, well, that sounds fair enough. I mean, I don't love tax, but those are the rules.
So Christo Visser is saying, well, actually, no, that's not how it works. There was no tax benefit to his holding company, which is Titan. This is all misleading, and he's taking legal advice on it.
Mm.
But it just gets more and more interesting, doesn't it? I mean, like,
everybody's looking for a villain here, you know?
That's true. Hey?
We're still looking because people got burnt by that Steinhoff thing, and now they're looking for someone who they can put in jail.
But is Marcus Huerster not enough of a villain?
Where is Marcus Huerster? Is he in jail?
Not yet.
Well, shouldn't he be?
I think they're still busy collecting evidence against him.
See, this is where people get confused, because they see the wheels of justice turn for murderers and those kind of people, but they don't see this happen with white-collar criminals. They see it going a lot slower. They don't see the same level of urgency.
Well, hang on, because if there's a murder, then there's evidence in a body.
Yeah.
If there's corporate shenanigans, it's very difficult to uncover the evidence. And I think that's what they're looking for. They're looking for the smoking gun or the dead body. That's what it is.
Let's see what happens. But yeah, he's not enough of a villain. We want more.
Oh, dear. They're vying for blood.
I feel bad for Christo Visser, because I think he's... I think he's also... He's fallen victim to this as much as everybody, because he's lost, a quarter or two-thirds of his value?
Two-thirds. Huge.
Shame. Poor guy. Only a couple of billion left. Shame.
I know. Terrible problem.
All right. Thanks, Anthea. There's lots to think about this morning. Very good. Anthea Gardner, The Money Shot. Every Monday morning at this time, we get to talk about the money and what's going on in the money. And you can find out the answers to your questions. If you want to send them through to us, gareth@cliffcentral.com. I'll forward them on to Anthea and we can address them next week, Monday. Quentin says, no more bullshit. What it do, bitches? What an open yesterday. Wow.
Yeah.
Quentin, big fan, Ben, of the open as well.
Sure.
Morning team, welcome, Poppy. Missed you. You're probably heading to be the first 200-year-old, Brendan. Well, from your mouth to God's ears. All right, let's get cracking. Sia's got some stuff for us, and said by Sia. What do you have for us today?
talk about a couple who is doing extraordinary things. A couple have taken it upon themselves to turn the rubbish in the ocean into prosthetic limbs for kids.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
I know. Laura and Chris Moriarty have had no expertise in ocean pollution or making prosthetic limbs, but they just believe in making a difference. So it's sort of like killing two birds with one stone, as they've tackled both issues with one solution. So Chris and Laura are founders of the Million Waves Project, which is a charity they've now established that recycles ocean plastic into 3D printed prosthetic limbs for needy people around the world. So Chris, who's 38 years old, was struck by the idea just one night in April, and 2 weeks later he and his wife had the project up and running. So currently it's just the two of them working on this. They prepare the plastic by cutting it up by hand, and they feed it into a paper shredder, and then, thanks to technology, then into a 3D printer. So after that, they then use an app to connect with people who need prosthetics so they can design the gadget specifically to their measurements. The cheap materials means that each prosthetic costs roughly around $45 US, and which the couple fund through donations and sponsorships and also selling different merchandise on their charity's website. And since launching the initiative, they've donated 18 limbs to disabled individuals.
That's very impressive.
They say that the Million Waves Project brings together two unacceptable global situations and offers a practical, sustainable solution. And Chris and Laura are now working on obtaining a commercial size shredder so they can multiply their production tenfold. My goodness, it's one thing to have an idea, it's one thing to have a feeling of wanting to make a difference, but it's another to take it on and continue on making
but
such a
trade. Isn't this great? I mean, I didn't think about it, but 3D printing is a big deal, right? Mm. Everybody's talking about 3D printing. You can buy these little ones that you could have in your house. There are big, expensive ones that can print everything, everything you can imagine, including, controversially, guns. But this is a way for us to use plastic.
Mm.
Everybody's worried about plastic in the environment and plastic pollution and all the rest of it. I reckon this plastic might end up being quite helpful.
This is a prime example.
Like, if you could find ways to you know, recycle that stuff, you give people the raw materials for their 3D printers, suddenly a whole lot of plastic goes back into the system and gets used properly. I think it's good. How's the recycling going, Ben?
Yeah, solid. Here, about to release my second smug bag of everything.
Oh, you must Instagram it, otherwise no one will know it happened.
Yeah, I did, actually.
Did you?
Well, it's part of my 100 Days to Better thing. I put a picture of that up.
I do want to catch up on your 100 Days to Better, because I'm suddenly very interested in self-improvement. I've been reading a little bit about that too, and also the discussion that we had last week with John Sané was kind of informative in that respect. So I do want to find out, we'll get an update from Ben about his 100 Days to Better. How far are you down that 100 days?
64 days done.
You haven't run out of things to do?
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay. I got some ideas.
No, like, I'm getting through it, but it's a slow process. I was hoping to have more ideas, but it's like, it's difficult.
Well, if everybody else has ideas, maybe they can send them to you.
Well, the whole thing is that every idea that I put out there, I want you to be able to use. So it's not going to be just some crap like, I don't know, brush your cat or something. So, I mean, it's got to be something you can take on into your life.
All right.
That's why it's taking longer than I thought.
Let's do a proper catch-up on that stuff just now. Poppy's with us. We've got a busy Monday morning for you, and we've even got somebody popping in later on who is a Tina Turner impersonator.
Yay!
Yeah. Wow, Poppy.
She's doing a show at... you know what? Normally, I hate these tributes, but after we had that really brilliant Belinda Davidson...
She was incredible.
She was great. She did Whitney Houston, so we're going to have Tina impersonator.
This is so exciting.
Her name is Caroline Baroli, who's going to come in and talk to us in just a little while. So stick around for that. Lots of good stuff to talk about. Your calls on 0861-555-189. And if you want to get hold of us on messages, you can just message Cliff Central either on Twitter comes through. We've got a WhatsApp line, 0797482090. And Josh just asking on that WhatsApp line, it only gets one gray tick. Does that mean you're not getting it? No. Because it comes onto the screen here in front of us, it's not a cell phone. We can't make it acknowledge you with two ticks or blue tick or whatever it is. So you just have to trust that we're getting it. But Josh, I just read that message. Yeah. That should be all the proof you need.
Stop being so needy, Josh.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh.
All right.
This is CliffCentral.com.